Grade 2 Conference, Lecture 42, The Path of the Teacher, Part 1. In these next few lectures, I'm going to speak about you and how, as a Waldorf teacher, you can make your career sustainable and you yourself can become a person of some degree of resilience. I think those two words say a lot about what one needs to do and be as a Waldorf teacher. And I'm going to speak about it on three levels. The first will be the sort of physical, etheric side of things. And then looking, we could say, more at the astral side of your life. And then finally, aspects of the ego. And it won't be so hard and fast and cut and dry. There'll be a lot of places where everything interweaves. So let's just start off with the physical, etheric side of the Waldorf teacher's life. Be prepared that first grade in particular, because you are going to be imbuing so much of what you teach with your own etheric body, with your own life forces, and because the children will be drawing from your etheric body in the same way they're probably, you know, going to clutch at your pants or your skirt or whatever when they're talking to you. They'll want to sort of hold on to you at times. This is really just emblematic of what's going on with their etheric body in regard to yours. They're literally pulling life out of you because this is what they're learning from in a certain way. It's not just what you're teaching them that sort of goes out there in the air. It's what you are really imbuing with the deepest part of your being. But this means that to be a primary school Waldorf teacher really can draw on your own forces of health, on your own immune system, as modern science would say, that it can weaken it, it can suppress it a little bit. And one just has to recognize this is an occupational hazard of being a Waldorf teacher. And in fact, in training, I'd often say to the trainees that just expect that sometime between Christmas and February of grade one, you're probably going to have some respiratory problems. You know, that you are working strongly, not only with your etheric body, but also with that etheric body as it manifests in your rhythmic system. You're bringing rhythm and order into the class. You're teaching the children how to breathe. In a way, your life's blood is playing into the life of the classroom. So, of course, your rhythmic circulatory system, your respiratory system, this is all going to be affected and, in certain respects, compromised until you find your pace and you find a way to work with this so that it is not always deleteriously affected. But just watch your health. And it's not to say take good care of yourself and it won't happen. It's more likely that it will happen than not. And it's not unusual. There's nothing wrong with it for a first grade teacher to be out for 2 or even 3 weeks, sometimes smack in the middle of the year, because of all that they have given the children. But I also want to warn you and kind of caution you that, you know, of course we know it's generally better for our health if we eat well. Okay, great. And, you know, eat organic food or even biodynamic food. But the reality is that a lot of Waldorf teachers can't afford to buy organic food or biodynamic food, or at least they can't afford to make that food the staple of their diet, the mainstay of their diet. That might be a treat. Maybe they have a little garden, or they have a friend with a garden who's able to help them out in that way. So it is possible that you will not belong to that sort of economic elite, the 1% or at least the top 10 or 20% who are able to regularly afford to eat organic food. And it's a very interesting thought. Also, it's great if you can, you know, see a doctor when you're not feeling at your best, maybe a remedy or maybe a suggestion of a change in diet, especially if it's an anthroposophical doctor, or at least a homeopathic doctor, a naturopath, somebody who can really help you, you know, in a deeper way, who maybe has a feeling for what you're going through as a Waldorf teacher. And, okay, that's great, but many Waldorf teachers cannot afford an anthroposophical doctor, a homeopathic doctor, a naturopath. They may just have to, you know, go to a kind of health clinic or a health insurance plan or whatever. And there, too, another reality of Waldorf education, that people who are constantly sacrificing themselves and really, you know, compromising their health at times, they are the very ones who cannot do much in a preventative way and a way to really maintain their health. So you've got to be aware this is one of the shadows of Waldorf education, because after all these years, after a century, we have still not, at least in North America, been able to sort out and work through the whole financial side of things. My own feeling is that every Waldorf school should simply pay the doctor bills of its teachers, because most of their ailments have to do with their work. They're really, whether they seem to be or not, they're truly occupational hazards. You can imagine that one has not gained me much popularity in business offices. But anyway, it's very important to think about that. Okay, here's some other aspects of, you know, just your physical life, your physical existence in a way, dealing with that. You want to be sure that every day you are able to create a little bit of space for yourself. And that might be 5 minutes. It might be 10 minutes. That could just be going out, you know, on the school grounds and looking at a flower, as I said about getting inspired to teach stories, taking a short walk. If you can do any of this during the school day, so much the better. To find a way to sort of breathe out, to, if not necessarily truly physically remove yourself from the school, at least in a kind of inward way. And I'm not speaking even of anything necessarily meditative, contemplative, but just in a way, claiming your own space, finding your own center. Because otherwise, at all grade levels, it's very easy just to get sucked out into the maelstrom of wonderful things going on, you know, of all the noise, the activity, the chaos, whatever, and also, you know, all of the music and the joyful movement and all of these things. It's all great, but sometimes it's as though you just get fragmented and pulled into that, and you forget that you also have an identity separate from that school. So that's one aspect, you know, to sort of physically remove yourself a little bit if possible. And certainly it's usually possible to leave the campus for a minute or two and take a little walk. Or maybe if your campus has a nice playing field or woods that you can even just walk through those. And also I would urge you on Friday night not to go to a movie. And the reason I say this is not because I'm opposed to movies, but just because Friday night, if you have done everything right during the week, you should feel, perhaps for the first time in your life, a remarkable feeling of being, what do you think I'm going to say? Of being hollowed out. You should feel as though somebody took, you know, a soul vacuum cleaner and just drew you out completely. So here I was just warning you a minute ago, don't let that happen. On the other hand, there's also something kind of inevitable about it. And you will actually realize that when that time comes, it's not an entirely unpleasant circumstance, because you know that you have gone out of yourself for a good cause, that in a way, a lot of you now is going home for the weekend with the children in your class, and that is perfectly okay. However, this puts you in a very vulnerable place, because it's as though your etheric forces are strained to the utmost to be able to go out like that. And this is one reason that I think it is a reason for us to be concerned in our movement, that there are, because of financial reasons primarily, and also just because of their dedication, there are a significant number of teachers who are really too old to be class teaching. Not because they don't have the artistry, the skill, the wisdom, and all of that, but simply because their etheric bodies no longer can sustain this weekly assault, this weekly giving up of everything. So you're not in that space yet. Your etheric body can handle it. But if you go to a movie, as I said at some point, talking about animations and storytelling and the Disney versions of fairy tales, for that animation to appear to be animated, it's your etheric body, which streams out towards the screen, sort of between you and the screen, and the etheric body kind of enchants those single frames and makes it look like it's graceful or somewhat graceful human movement. You don't want your etheric body pulled out of you one iota more. Pull it back in. And how can you pull it back in? By trying on Friday night to read something, to do something short of media, I would say, an artistic experience, a social experience, whatever, that has absolutely 100% nothing to do with school. That you've got to leave that world behind you. And it's good if you can do that part of Saturday or part of Sunday as well. You know, that give yourself a few hours during the weekend when you're not even remembering you are a Waldorf teacher. And you will see, that's as hard as standing in a corner and not thinking of a white polar bear. It's a tremendous effort to do that, but that is deeply restorative of your etheric forces, to pull away like that and, in a certain way, you know, go somewhere else. That is a very good thing to do. And we'll speak about this on sort of the astral level as well. But as I say, right now, this is just much more the physical and etheric. Something else to be aware of, that being a Waldorf teacher, you're helping to develop the children's memories. And as with everything else, you have to be a model. I've spoken about that. But not only that, it's going to also draw on your memory forces. So you have to try to clear your memory as much as possible so that it is pretty much 90% geared up to be there for your children. And only 10% of it is going there to serve your mundane needs. Now, thank goodness, actually, modern life and modern technology in particular come to our assistance here, such as the invention of paper and the invention of the pen and the pencil, things like that, you know, high-tech stuff. Even though other teachers may disapprove of it, I think you're okay, you're on safe ground. And to use a notebook, to jot down things that you do not need to remember within, but that can be externalized. Better than that, I would say, moving forward boldly into the 20th century, things like smartphones and personal digital assistants and whatever new devices are being developed in the 21st century as well, which allow you even perhaps to dictate things like a parent's phone number or a commitment you've made for a committee or whatever, a shopping list or supplies that you are running out of in your classroom. Don't try to carry everything in your head, as we say, just in your own personal memory. Put it out there, organize the kinds of things you need to remember. You know, have tabs, be they physical tabs in a book or virtual ones on a screen, so that you can constantly be checking in, you know, reviewing, looking at things without having to recollect everything yourself. Save your memory for memorizing your verses, for memorizing your stories, for, you know, memorizing things about the children that you really want to hold on to. Everything else, write down or dictate or keyboard in or whatever you need to do. This is very important because very often teachers get extremely tired, kind of worn out. They think it's a physical cause, and actually it's an etheric cause. It's that they're pulling too much on their etheric body in the realm of mundane everyday memory. And at least for the primary grades, you have to sacrifice that to some degree and not be, you know, trying to say, oh, I have a great memory, I can remember anything. You're going to have to make choices about what is truly worthwhile remembering and what you can give over to what Steiner speaks of as sort of aramonic devices that will help carry your memory for you. You know, you have to give Ahriman something to do. We'll go on in the next lecture to look at self-preservation on the astral level.